This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely, positively, FedEx. Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/tboy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Today's show is sponsored by Acura.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura.
And now it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet.
Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own.
Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Wednesday, December 1st. Happy December.
Happy fourth night of Hanukkah. For the fourth night, stocks dropped.
Stocks dropped. Yeah, that's what happened on the fourth. The Dow, it gave itself a present. It took the day off.
Also, yesterday was Giving Tuesday.
It was.
Today can be Giving Wednesday. You don't need to limit giving to Tuesday.
Whatever money you had apparently left over from Cyber Monday, that's how you get the tax write-off.
Snackers, today's pod is the best one yet.
It's a TBOY. Jack, first story, what do we got?
Allbirds just released their first earnings report since the shoe company IPO.
But whatever you do, Snackers, don't call it a shoe company.
Oh, shoot. I just called it a shoe company.
The whole takeaway is ruined.
For our second story, Facebook acquired Giphy, the leader in GIFs last year, but the UK is telling Facebook no.
So like an angry parent, the UK is ordering Facebook to go to its room and return Giphy.
For our third and final story, just in time for Santa, coal prices have hit their highest level in over a decade.
And the ultimate climate change hero fighting coal is a middle-aged insurance salesman.
What do I got to do to get you in this climate change insurance?
You look great in that shirt. You got to get out of the cold.
But Snackers, before we hit that wonderful mix.
Honestly, what a wild mix today, Jack.
Sometimes a baby is born.
Yeah, sometimes a star is born.
Yesterday, we're celebrating because a republic was born.
Barbados, it is now its own independent republic.
For nearly 400 years, the Queen of England has reigned over this island nation, Barbados.
Queen Elizabeth II, great lady. She likes lap dogs, warm milk, and being the head of state of Barbados, too.
Now, Barbados has been an independent nation since 1966, but now the Caribbean country has officially cut their ties with the crown.
So first came Brexit, now comes Barbexit.
But the biggest winner of Barbados breaking up with England officially, Rihanna.
The first official decision by the new Republic of Barbados, make Robin Rihanna Fenty a national hero.
And national hero is basically like knighting or sainthood, but no sword involved.
Exactly. Rihanna is now the Honorable Rihanna. Actually, if you see her and address her, there's like going to be an awkwardness because you may have to bow. You should probably salute.
Honorable Umbrella Ella Ella.
So England, they're saying adios Barbados.
While Barbados says, hey, hey, Riri.
Feels like a plot twist from season 12 of The Crown.
Let's hit our three stars.
Yeah, congratulations, the youngest republic on planet Earth.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. The snacks about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC.
For our first story, Allbirds, they just had their first earnings since their IPO.
Nick, next gift as the pod father for your pod son.
I know what you're thinking.
You know they have kids, Allbirds.
Smallbirds.
Yeah.
Smallbirds, yeah. The pod son will get this. I got to retain my pod father status.
Snackers, Allbirds IPO'd 1 month ago. The stock doubled on the first day, but it's fallen by 30% since.
You know, if you haven't seen Allbirds, you know Allbirds. They're the Patagonia fleece of your feet.
If you try to fundraise money in Silicon Valley, but you're not wearing the shoes, You just get an error message.
I think in business school, they told us, Jack, you got to have a pitch deck, you got to have financial projections, and you got to have the Heather Gray Allbirds with the white soles.
Now, a majority of Allbirds' sales are from those famous wool shoes that come straight off the back of sheep from New Zealand.
Last year, though, they expanded beyond footwear to athleisure wear and shorts and sweatpants and like 50 other items for your body.
Yeah, they got boxers, they got wool hats. But here's the thing. Allbirds doesn't even break out their business into separate segments. It's just one segment. It's just the shoes. Like, the other stuff is a decimal at this point.
It's a shoe company. If you're going on a date in the marina in San Francisco, you're wearing these shoes.
Now, after soaring in cultural relevance for many years, 2020 wasn't good for Allbirds.
Yeah, revenue slowed to 13% growth in 2020. But then last quarter, things picked up for Allbirds, jumped 33%.
That's pretty good. But Allbirds is still unprofitable because they're in growth mode. They're spending every dollar of revenue they get on growth.
In the meantime, they happen to have some like aggressively loyal customers, just Allbirds fanatics.
Half of their sales are from repeat customers coming in for their second pair of Allbirds.
Full disclosure, I'm wearing the Allbirds right now. And Jack, I did get my dad a pair last Christmas. It's a solid gift.
You have all the birds.
Yeah, I have all the birds. Although my dad is the only lawyer on the East Side who is wearing Allbirds with a suit to business meetings.
Some say you should be disbarred for that.
So Snackers, Allbirds, the brand is all about shoes. The like store is all about shoes. The sales are all about shoes. But here's what Jack and I are thinking. Don't call them a shoe company.
Nick and I jumped in snack style to the S-1 document, which is the IPO paperwork. The words shoe and footwear were mentioned 198 times.
Allbirds mentioned the words environment or carbon 217 times.
But they mentioned the word material 310 times.
Allbirds isn't a shoe company. Allbirds is a material company.
Now, Allbirds is known for really comfortable shoes that Nick thinks are very fashionable.
Full disclosure, again, I'm wearing these right now.
But the value's in the materials the shoes are made of.
Yes, it's what's in the shoes, not the shoes themselves.
A huge portion of the IPO paperwork showed each and every ingredient and all about the ingredients that make up their products.
Because each one of their ingredients in the shoes has been carefully chosen or created to minimize a carbon footprint.
For instance, the laces, they're made of tree bark and crab shells.
Okay, that's just the laces. Jack, what about the heels? What about the heels of the shoe?
They're made of castor bean oil, which is more sustainable than oil.
Jack, what about the sole of the Allbirds shoes?
Eucalyptus pulp.
Not just any eucalyptus pulp. We're talking straight up full grade South African eucalyptus pulp.
And if you add it all up, the average pair of Allbirds shoes has a carbon footprint of 9 kilograms of CO2 per pair. That is 30% less than the average pair of footwear bought in America.
So Allbirds' competitive advantage, it isn't the shoe. It's what's in the shoe, which could be in anything you're wearing.
It's a materials company. That's why they're expanding beyond the shoe to other products with the same materials.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at the Allbirds Material Company?
Their long-term challenge is to create a sustainability nutrition label.
Snackers, look down at whatever you're eating right now. You got the nutrition facts, you got the ingredient list, and all of that is part of the informed daily food decision process we all go through.
Yeah, chalk down a 600 calorie bacon, egg, and cheese this morning. I'm going to get the lower calorie green goddess salad for lunch.
But despite caring about sustainability, Snackers, we don't monitor ingredients of our shoes like we do food.
Sustainability just isn't a key criteria in the daily purchasing decisions of most people.
We're thinking maybe that's because there's not a clear number to compare like calories has with food.
But Allbirds is trying to change that by making carbon part of the consumer choice process.
Maybe the most innovative thing Allbirds has done was include a carbon footprint number on the label of all their clothes.
The big question is, will people care that a pair of Allbirds is 9 kilograms, whereas a pair of Nike or Adidas is 12?
Because here's the thing, a calorie count affects your chicken parm decisions. Could a carbon count affect your shoe decisions?
That's what Allbirds is hoping for, and making it happen is their major long-term challenge.
Doing to carbon what calories did to food. For our second story, Facebook has been ordered by the United Kingdom to sell a company they just acquired, Giphy.
The UK told Facebook to do what?
This came out of nowhere. I don't even know how Her Majesty has this kind of power, but she has this kind of power.
Snackers, 1.5 years ago, the artist then known as Facebook, technically known as Meta Platforms now.
Yeah, Meta.
Announced they were acquiring Giphy.
What Wikipedia is to information, Giphy is to GIFs or GIFs. Are we going with GIFs or GIFs? What do you want to do?
Giphy lets anybody create a GIF. You know, you take a video of a buddy spilling pasta on himself, and then you upload it to Giphy. It becomes a looped image video thing you can share in text messages.
We should just let people troll us either way. So we're either saying GIFs or GIFs, but someone on Twitter is going to rip on us either way.
I'm always going GIF.
All right, I'll go with GIF too. Let's just go with GIF.
Hard no on the soft G.
Giphy, the company though, is basically the key weapon in any meme creator's digital arsenal.
Well, the United Kingdom's competition regulator
sounds intense.
Ruled this week that they won't allow it.
No!
Facebook shall not pass.
Get back where you came from.
The UK's regulator is concerned that Facebook buying Giphy will harm competition in social media.
Specifically, they said in the UK, they have a concern that, quote, can only be addressed by Facebook selling Giphy in its entirety to an approved buyer.
Again, the UK told Facebook what?
Yeah, this is kind of inconsistent because the UK didn't block Google's acquisition of like a very similar GIF company.
But the UK doesn't care. They said by requiring Facebook to sell Giphy, we are protecting millions of social media users.
Yeah, so shut up.
Wow, there is no precedent to this blockage.
Snackers, there is no precedent at all. A government regulator in the UK is ordering a big tech company to undo an acquisition.
And it's extra unprecedented because this is a foreign government telling a tech giant to sell a US business. Like, how does the UK have authority to do this?
Right, this is like the SEC going over to the Great British Baking Show and saying, I'm sorry, season 2, episode 1, that scone should have been Roger, not Julie, who won.
Exactly. Now, Nick and I did find a couple of quasi-precedents.
We did.
London, for example, ordered Uber to shut down a couple years ago.
But Uber operated during the appeal and ultimately reached a settlement with the City of London.
And then last year, Australia passed a new law that required Facebook to pay news publishers every time an Australian Facebook user clicked a link that included a news article.
But just like Uber in London, that quickly got settled too.
Both of these cases were a foreign government telling a US tech company what to do, but in both cases, they were settled quickly with deals being reached.
In the meantime, this Facebook situation is double, super secret, extra unprecedented. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Facebook?
One word scares Facebook more than any other: precedent.
Snackers. This is a classic case of who is going to blink first. The UK isn't Facebook's boss, so Facebook doesn't have to comply.
Facebook's probably going to appeal this ruling.
Yeah.
But after that, Facebook could play hardball with the UK. They could shut down all of Facebook's apps in the United Kingdom. So, you know, not comply with the ruling, basically.
But here's the thing. That wouldn't be ideal for Facebook because that leaves room for Snapchat and TikTok to just take over England, the whole island.
That also, though, wouldn't be good for the United Kingdom because the royal subjects could revolt without their Instagram and get mad at the MPs who ordered this. But we think the greatest fear in Mark Zuckerberg's office right now is setting a bad precedent.
Precedent. If the UK can block Facebook's corporate development plans, then France, Brazil, Japan, and Barbados can too.
That's why we don't think Facebook will comply with the UK's order to sell Giphy.
Zuck doesn't want to set the precedent that one foreign country could halt his global plans. For our third and final story, just in time for the holiday season, coal prices hit their highest level in decades.
Have you ever held a brick of coal?
No, I feel like I would burn myself.
Neither have I.
I don't know, it feels like it would hurt.
I've just seen it in the Grinch.
It always kind of scares me, to be honest.
Well, Snackers, one major insurance company is trying to end coal by refusing to insure it.
But here is the funny thing about coal, Snackers. Coal, it can be so tempting.
Coal is right there. It's probably in your hometown. It's right under the ground. It's within the mountains.
It looks delicious. It's like the indulgent milk chocolate of the energy industry.
Crucially, coal is easily burnable to make electricity. It's reliable. It's cheap. It sounds perfect.
Yeah, it's the biggest contributor to climate change, but all those other things are fantastic.
The thing about the cheap point I mentioned, it's actually not true right now.
No, that's one huge shocking change we're seeing right now, Snackers. Coal just hit its highest price in the last 10 years.
Now, Peabody Energy loves this development.
They do.
That private coal power company, their stock is up 600% this year.
Santa hates this development. If he's going to stick it in your stocking, he's going to need like a J.G. Wentworth payday loan to get this bought.
Now, the reason coal prices are so high is because this country is low on coal. We just don't have enough.
Not enough coal. American coal plants got like little tiny piles of coal. That's it. That's all we got.
Literally, we have the smallest stockpiles of coal in America since the Nixon presidency.
Okay, so Jack and I are looking at this situation and coal prices are really high. Supply is really low. We're thinking some enterprising capitalists could just mine some new coal and make a pretty penny or two.
I drink your milkshake.
I drink it up.
Daniel Day-Lewis, not a snacker, but deserves many, many awards.
Well, actually, the hero in this movie could be AXA Insurance because they don't want that capitalist to mine up some new coal.
Snackers, we're talking AXA Insurance. We'll repeat it. A French insurance giant whose CEO wants the insurance industry to stop insuring coal.
That CEO figures if nobody will insure a coal project, no one will finance a coal project.
And if no one finances that coal project, then there will be no coal produced by a project.
Now, Nick and I read about this in the New York Times on Sunday, and we thought, why would a French insurance company try to save the world from coal pollution?
Also, love the humble brag there. Just had my feet up reading the Sunday Times. What is it, 1996? Things as thick as a coal mine.
You know, I've never gotten more than like five things in the Sunday crossword.
But it's not about completing the crossword, Jack. It's just about saying you did the crossword.
Where are we?
So it's a lovely Sunday, Snackers, and we're thinking what you're thinking. Why does a French insurance company suddenly care about coal?
In the interview with the Times, the CEO at AXA noticed that hurricanes, wildfires, and floods are more and more frequent, more and more severe, and are causing a huge hit to the insurance industry's profits.
So every time a factory that AXA insures gets flooded by a hurricane, then AXA's got to pay to rebuild that entire factory.
Now, Munich Re, which is a huge insurance company, they reported that natural disasters in 2020 caused the insurance industry $82 billion in losses.
And that's the key insight, because this is what that AXA CEO is now thinking.
If we insure a new coal plant today, it's going to lead to losses tomorrow across AXA's entire portfolio.
So now AXA is trying to get the entire insurance industry to team up and refuse to insure coal.
It's a bold move. I was shocked by
it. It's intense.
Now, U.S. insurance companies have not signed on yet, but several European and Asian ones have.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in coal and insurance?
Of all the venues for climate action, insurance might be the most surprising.
Snackers, think about this. The hero of fighting climate change may be a middle-aged insurance salesperson.
Not all heroes wear capes. Some wear trousers and spectacles.
Yeah, others wear glasses and may carry a briefcase. To reduce greenhouse gases and slow climate change, humanity's got a whole bunch of options right now.
One venue is Congress. We could pass laws mandating cleaner lifestyles.
One is lawsuits. You could sue polluters and claim damages.
Another is consumer action. Like, we could get people to install solar panels to save the world.
Yeah, or buy Allbirds.
Exactly.
None of those have done the trick, but insurance, that's another venue for climate action.
Who would have guessed the insurance industry could be the venue to solve climate change?
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us over there?
Allbirds' long-term goal is to get consumers to consider carbon.
Just like you do calories. What gets measured gets done.
Facebook has been ordered to sell Giphy.
The UK ordered them to do that, which would set a precedent. And Facebook, they hate precedents.
For our third and final story, AXA Insurance is trying to end coal.
Apparently the insurance industry, it's the new venue to fight climate change potentially. Now, time for our snack fact of the day. This one sent in by legendary snacker Dan Toomey from lovely Cohasset by the sea, just outside of Boston.
Have you heard of Operation Deep Freeze 1?
Had not heard of the second or the third, any kind of sequel.
That was the name of a Navy mission back in the 50s to bring American scientists to the South Pole for the first time.
Now, here's where things get interesting. The commander of said mission wanted to promote that mission, so he hired a crew from Walt Disney Studios to film the naval expedition.
Disney designed a shield and logo for Operation Deep Freeze that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, they did.
It's like they were trying to sell like war bonds or something.
Well, the reason that logo looked pretty cool is because it was drawn by the same guy who came up with Mickey Mouse. Walt Disney designed the logo.
Ever heard of him? So Disney designed the logo for this mission and donated camera crews to film the whole thing.
Not too shabby for a cartoonist.
Not too shabby for that camera crew who was in the freezing cold South Pole, not only trying to survive, but film the whole thing.
Like Gore-Tex, Schmortex. Forget the North Face.
Snackers, do we have to call Facebook Meta?
No, we don't, Jack. No, we don't. We'll see you tomorrow. And before we go, congrats to Snackers Chase and Kirby Matoka, who listen every day to this pod. And Chase finally asked Kirby out on a date in Houston, and it happened.
Chase and Kirby did the opposite of the United Kingdom and Barbados.
There we go. They are officially dating, baby.
Congrats to Rhea Katoy and Apoorva Adipali for launching a pod together.
Yeah.
About life after 21.
And congrats to TJ, or good luck to TJ, who's taking an investment analyst exam today, like right now,
in Los Angeles.
Happy birthday to Martin Russi from Puerto Rico.
And Anthony Whitlow turning 30 up in Albany, New York. Go River Rats.
Happy birthday to Peter from Great Falls.
And Austin turning 20 down in lovely Cedar City.
If you're celebrating something today, make it a T-Boy.
Celebrate the wins. Robinhood Snacks, newsletters, and podcasts reflect the opinions of only the authors who are associated persons of Robinhood Financial LLC and do not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets, Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. They are meant for informational purposes only and are not a recommendation to buy or sell any security, cryptocurrency, or investment strategy in any account. This is not an offer or sale of a security, not a research report, and is not intended to serve on the basis for any investment decision. Any third-party information provided therein does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets, Inc., Robinhood Financial, LLC, or any of their subsidiaries or affiliates. All investments involve risk, including loss of principal, and past performance does not guarantee future results. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
So, By the way, I had to add the disclosures last night. I don't know if you saw. It took like 8 takes. It's so hard. I was like, this is Nick, and Alan Chairs is Square and Jack. This is Nick. This is Nick, and we both own Bitcoin. Square. Oh! I screwed it up like 6 times, dude. I don't know how you do it.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
What came first, the chicken or the egg? Spoiler alert, it's neither. At Happy Egg, we believe happiness of the hens is what actually came first, because without happy hens, there would be no such thing as happy eggs. You know, eggs with delicious orange yolks. Those come from hens who are raised the happy way on 8+ acres of family-owned farms. Choose happy at happyegg.com and look for the yellow carton at a store near you. Happy Egg.